Today's shir is Masechta Chagiga Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. The Mishnah we had learned previously with the Gemara after the Mishnah had Mishnah spoke about situations where the halach is that Kodesh is treated in a more serious way when it comes to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara than Truma is. Our Mishnah begins by discussing situations that where Truma is treated more seriously when it comes to Tum and Tahara than Kodesh. Shavihuda Namonim al Taharas Yayin. In Yehuda, that area in Eretz Yisrael, where Amoritz comes and says that his wine is Tahar and may be used for the Nesachim that we bring for Kabbonis. The shemen that he processed may be used for the menachos kol yomos shana or year round, and we don't have to be concerned once the Amoritz says that he watched them that should remain tar. The halacha is we could trust them. That's the way Rashi seems to learn. Other rishonim seem to take the approach that the only time the Amoritz would be trusted if he says that he designated these grapes to be used for Kodesh. He designated these olives to be used for Kodesh. That prior designation is required. And the reason, explains Rashi, why we trust them, it goes back to something that we just learned on Daf Chabez. If we're going to take such a strict approach to them and not trust them when they say something is tahor for Kodesh, what we need to be concerned is that they're going to take the same, that kol echad, everybody's going to be buying a bomba latzmai. Everybody's going to build his own bomba. And as we've been discussing in our shiurim, Chazal were very sensitive to making sure that such would not happen. And therefore, even though normally we maybe wouldn't trust them, here we trust them. Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest is because Chazal knew that their Maratzim take Kodesh very seriously, and since they knew that they take Kodesh so seriously, they knew that if they say that they watched these ingredients, that they should remain Tahor and for being able to use them for Kodesh, we can trust them. Mishas Agitis, the time of the year where they squeeze the grape to make wine, Vabadim, and the time of the year where they squeeze the olives to make olive oil. So there, Af Al Truma, we trust them even for Truma. Because since that's the time that everybody keeps everybody Tahor, since they keep everybody Tahor at that time, they can be trusted. Another pshat is that the Amoritz were trusted, that's during these times, because these were the periods during the year when most Truma in Eretz Yisrael was separated. And since this was the time of the year where in Eretz Yisrael most Truma was separated, the Amoratzim realized that this is the time of the year that they should be more scrupulous and they should be more careful in keeping the oil, the wine, tahar. But if these seasons pass, and Amoritz brings a barrel of wine of Truma to a Kohen, he should not accept it. Because, as we just said, at the end of the year, only during these specific periods during the year are they trustworthy. Any other time of the year, they may not be trusted. Ava Menicha, it may be left Lagas Haba for the next season. During the next season, because we just learned that during the seasons, when they squeeze, they're trusted, and therefore they can be trusted at that time. Here, the Mishnah said that if it wasn't during the season, Vivi'uloi, and they brought, he shouldn't be trusted. And I saw that the Tres Yisrael says that the Mishnah is teaching us that even if many people brought this barrel of wine, and they're all saying it's Tahor, it's still, if it's not in the season, they cannot be trusted. So, of course, the Mishmar Alevi asked the question that how can we wait for the next season? why isn't it going to be concerned about ta'achar? So they explain, as we've learned many times, that the issa about ta'achar is only after three yom tovim passed. So if they were squeezed sukkah's time and we leave it for Pesach, that wouldn't be a situation about ta'achar. Vim omar, but if the amaretz has a barrel of wine, of oil, and he says, "Efrafti l'toicher revius kodesh," I poured into here a revius of kodesh, and we started the shir by saying that they are trusted for kodesh. Neman, he's trustworthy, or he's trustworthy altogether. Kadayim v'kadeshemen, says the Gemara, when we have barrels of oil and barrels of wine, hamadu mo'ois, which we will explain in the Gemara quite extensively. Namonim aleim b'shas agitas v'abadim, they're trustworthy that time of the year when they do the squeezing. And says the Gemara, koydim gitas shivim yomim, since they start preparing whatever they need to do for 70 days before the season, so therefore already 70 days before the season, they're trusted. So begins the Gemara. Our Mishnah said, Behuda in. They're only trustworthy when they're trusted for Kaidish in Yehuda. But in Gaul, they're not trusted. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why are they not trusted in Gaul? Answers the Gemara, Amre Shlokish Meneshe, Ritzua Shalkutim, Mefsekes Beinayim. There's a strip of land between Gaul and Yehuda, which is considered the Eretz Amim, that the Chamim said is Tamei, because all Eretz Amim are Tamei. So somebody who comes from Golol to Yehuda, where they went to be Oil Regal, had to pass this strip of land. So since they had to pass this strip of land, they're going to make Metama, the wine, the oil anyway, and that's why the rules of our Mishnah don't apply. So the question is, asked Tysus, if when you travel from Golol to Yehuda, you always have to travel through a strip of land that's Tamei, how did anybody ever go to be Oil Regal when they went from Gaul to Yehuda? So Tysus Rosh answers that indeed what they needed to do was come to Yerushalayim 7 days before the Yontif, because as we know, a person who's Tamei Meis has to have Hazor Shlishi Vishvi, he has to be sprinkled on with the mixture of the Efer Parim water for 7 days, so he needed the 7 days. Taisus Yontif says there was a special kula that they made for Oile Regalim, that even though they're passing through this area, they're not considered Tamei, because it's not like they certainly came in contact with Tuma. The Mishnah Melech says that they went through something that we're going to speak later in the shir, that if you travel in a shade of Teva Migdal, if you travel in a box, there's a question if you become Tamei. Says the Mishnah Melech that everybody agrees that as far as these halachas are concerned, they protect you from becoming Tuma. Again, asked the Shar Ephraim, how could people from Golul ever bring Bikurim to Yerushalayim if they have to go through this area? Answers the Shar Ephraim, an answer that we've been discussing so often. Fruit, the Bikurim are brought from the Shivas Aminim, and food cannot become Tamei unless it's Mukhshel Kabel Tuma. Mukhshel Kabel Tuma means that it had to get wet. So they were careful never to bring fruit for Bikurim that was Mukhshel Kabel Tuma, and therefore it wasn't a problem. The Shalmi Chagiga quotes the Rach that gives a very different explanation. And he says that when somebody's traveling from Golol to Yehuda, indeed it's quite possible he's going to travel through an area which is Eretz Amim. And says the Rach, that's a concern we have by Amaratzim, who are not that careful, and they may end up traveling through such an area and making whatever they bring Tamei. But when we're speaking about people who are being Oil Regal, the people who are Oil Regal, of course, were careful not to travel through such areas. Our Mishnah speaking about Amaratzim. By Amaratzim, we have this concern. By Chaverim, we wouldn't have this concern. Another teretz that the Mishnah Melech suggests is that even though somebody travels through the Eretz Amim and becomes Tamei, he doesn't have a Tumah that requires him to have Azar Shlishi Vishvi, which, as we said a few moments ago, is it takes 7 days. All he needs to do is go to the mikveh and have Herev Shemesh. If that's the case, all he would need to do is arrive in Yerushalayim a day before Yontif. A day before Yontif is not that difficult to come. Ask the Gemara, why are we so concerned that you're going to bring the oil, the wine, through the Seretz Amim? Isn't there a way of avoiding that problem? The Nasiv asked the Gemara, why don't we put the barrels of wine and the barrels of oil, b'shei the teva migdal, different types of boxes that are considered an oil, and anything that's an oil protects anything inside from becoming tamei? Answers the Gemara, Hamani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Rebihi. Dama oil zarek lashmei oil. An oil that could travel is halachically not considered a valid oil. Tanya, Hanichnas Laretz Amim B'shei the Tav Migdal, Rebbe Metami. Rebbe says it's not considered that you're in a separate oil. Rebbe Yosef Behuda Matar, that he holds that you are tar. But ask the Gemara, we still have a way of avoiding the problem. V'leisiu B'kli Cheres Hamuk of Tzodim Pasol. Why don't we bring the Kadi Shemen and the Kadi Yayin in sealed earthenware baskets? And as we've learned, an earthenware basket only becomes tamei from maviroi, from what's inside. But if we seal it, it protects anything inside from becoming tamei. So therefore, ask the Gemara, I see you, b'kli cherevs ha'muk of tzomet pasol. Answers the Gemara, Amar b'lazer shaynin, ein ha'kodesh nitzah b'tzomet pasol. We learned in a braisa that that's not a way of protecting something which is kodesh from becoming tamei. And says the Gemara, Tanya, ein chatas nitzalas, B'tzomet pasul. The Bryce says that the mixture of the ashes of the Parah Aduma and the Mayim Chayim, that can't be protected in a Tzomet pasul. My love, doesn't the Bryce mean to say that only Chatos, which, as we've learned before, that has a very high level of kedusha when it comes to Tumat Tahara, has this halacha? Hamayim Shem Kedoshim, regular kodesh, nitzalim b'tzomet pasul. And the way I saw the Siach Yitzchak explains the Gemara's question is that where the Torah taught us this halacha, it applies anywhere else. Some a kli cheres that's sealed saves anything inside from becoming tamei. So why don't we use that approach? Answers the Gemara, ha'om ula chavrayim matkin beglila, kin the chaverim in Golol would bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Menichen, when they brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, why, whenever they brought something, that they would make sure that it was tahor. So Rashi says, because they were always concerned that they should be able to use it by the Beis HaMikdash. Why did they have to do this? Why didn't they just put it into this thing? Answers the Gemara, Menichan l'chshav el yov yitareno. We wait to see a way to be able to bring it without becoming tamei. So as I saw the Rishonim explain the Gemara, in the Zman HaBayis, they knew where was tar and where it's not. Otherwise, they weren't sure, and that's why they couldn't bring it. But we learned in the Mishnah, B'shas Hagitos, during the season when they squeeze everything, Namonim Afal Truma. For many, ask the Gemara, how could that be? The Mishnah Masechta Taharos teaches us, Hagoymer, somebody who finishes to collecting his olives, and he wants to put them into the place where they squeeze the oil. Yishai kupa achas should leave over one barrel v'tnena l'koyin. So he should have oni koyin there. What does the oni koyin accomplish? The oni koyin accomplishes. So I saw a number of pshatim. The simplest pshat that I saw is that the oni is a mashgiach. He serves as a mashgiach to watch that it doesn't become tamei. Another pshat, that if he was a wealthy kohen, there would be a concern that maybe he gave his own olives to the Amoritz, and he has a deal with the Amoritz. Your process my olives, and there's a concept because of kaim sayeb beis agronis. By a poor ani, we don't have these concerns. So, but the question is, if during the squeezing season they're always believed, so why is this necessary? Answers the Gemara Amar of Kana Loi Kasha. Ha b'charfi, grapes, when they squeeze the grape early, that's when the Amarits are trusted. Ha b'afli, grapes that are squeezed late in the season, and most of the olives have already been squeezed at that point, we can't at that point trust them that they're doing what they were supposed to do. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Hava, Kigoy Mai, what is an example of grapes that are squeezed late in the season? So he said, your father's olives ripen late. The way I saw Rabbeinu Chananel explains, what he meant to say was that your father, Baruch Hashem, was a wealthy individual, and he had many fields growing olives. So a person that doesn't have that many fields growing olives, most of his olives could be squeezed earlier. But a person who has many fields, that takes much longer. And since it takes much longer, then some of the olives are squeezed later in the season. This pshat that I just said is the pshat that Rashi learns. There are others that learn maybe just the opposite, that those that are squeezed earlier, that's where we have to be concerned. Those that are squeezed later are not concerned. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Yosef is a different test, but Glil Shonu. Amish is speaking about when they're squeezing olives or grapes in Golo. And Amish says that in Yehuda, they're trusted during the squeezing season, but not in Golol. And when we learning here that the Brisa says that you have to have a Kohen supervising that they should do it right, that's why. So there's very many reasons I saw the Rishonim suggest why the Amaratzim are trusted in Yehuda and not in Golol. The simple teretz is what we learned a moment ago in the shir. Since transporting something from Golol to Yerushalayim means that you have to go through the Eretz Amim, so they realize that it's going to get affected, it's going to get tamei by going through that area, and that's why they're not careful. Another pshat is that in Yehuda, there were many Talmid Chachamim. And since there were many Talmid Chachamim, they were able to supervise that the Amorites should keep everything Torah. Golol didn't have that population of Talmid Chachamim. Tosfos explains that in Golol, there were many trees that had olives. And therefore, it was difficult to make sure on such a large volume of olives and olive oil that they should all remain Torah. In Yehuda, it didn't take so long, and therefore, in Yehuda, it was much less of a concern. That's why they didn't trust it. Of course, the Mefarshim pick up on this teretz, so to make a difference versus different places, if they have a lot, if they don't have a lot, it could be they have a lot of olives, they don't have a lot of grapes. The Gemara doesn't seem to make any of these distinctions. Eisvei asks Abaya, they trust about great wine during the season when they squeeze grapes. They trusted about olive oil during the time when they squeeze olive oil. During the olive oil season, they're not trusting in the wine. So we see that in Golol, they are trusted. So Rabbi Yosef wanted to give a teretz that our Mishnah that says that they're trusted during the squeezing season is only in Yehuda, not in Golo. Here it clearly indicates that even in Golo, under certain circumstances, they're trusted. Says the Gemara, Al-Machvata K'nishnin Me'kara, we have to say the original teretz, that the difference between grapes and olives that ripen early versus those that ripen later. The Chazon Yecheskel explains, why would we think that they should be trusted for olives during the grape season or for grapes during the olive season? So he says that just like we learned in our Mishnah, that once the Amoritz says that he puts some Kodesh into the barrel, he's trusted because that shows that it must be Tahor. Here too, if a person during the season is tahor, as we're learning. So we see the fact that he bothered to be tahor is a proof that he wants to be tahor. And therefore, we should maybe assume that he's tahor even for the product, which now is not the season. Teaches us the brisa that we actually don't accept that. So we learned further in the Mishnah of Ragitas for Abadim, if the season passed, and they bring him a barrel of wine, we don't accept it. We leave it for the next season. So they asked in the yeshiva from Sheshus, Avar, if the Kohen violated this law, the Kibla, and he accepted from Amoritz a barrel of wine, a barrel of oil, after the season when they squeezed them. The question is, if he waits till the next season, and we said during the season, we do trust them, so now he wants to use it during the season, what's the halacha? And as I saw, the Torah Evan explains the Gemara's question. On one hand, he violated what Chazal said. Chazal said that we're not allowed to accept these types of products from the Amoritz only during the season. And he accepted it not during the season. On the other hand, he only wants to use it during the season. And our Mishnah says that they're usable during the season. Amalu so responded to Nisua. We learned the following Braisa, the following Mishnah. The Mishnah Masechta Demai speaks about a person that is a chaver, which we very often explain that the chaver is a person who's careful on all hilchos tumah and tahara. And the two brothers, one brother is a chaver, and the other brother is a ma'aretz. Shiyoshe Savim Amoritz. And they are inheriting produce from their father who is an Amoritz. Yochel loy meloy, the chaver could tell to the Amoritz, tolat the chitin shema komploini, you could take grain that grew in that place, that I know that grain got wet, and since it got wet, it's mukshul kabul tomo, vani chitin shema komploini, and I'll take grain from another place that never got wet and wasn't mukshul kabul tomo, and I don't have to be concerned that my father, who's the Amoritz, might have come in contact with them. Or he could tell him, tolat the yain shema komploini, you could take that wine, which I know was not prepared, but tahara, vani yain shema komploini, I know I'll take wine from a different area that I know was prepared properly. Avaloy yoimaloy, he's not allowed to tell him, tolat the machshkin, you take beverages that are tamei, vani yovish, and I'll take fruit that never got wet, and therefore is never mukshul kabul tumah, and since it was never mukshul kabul tumah, it can't be tamei. Or he can't say to him, tolat the chitim, you take all the grain, you take all the wheat that I know may be problematic, and I'll take all the barley that I know is not problematic. Because, explained the Rishonim, when two brothers inherit their father, they are partners in everything that the father gave. So if they're partners in the wheat that the father left, so they could divide. I take this share of the wheat, you take that share of the wheat. And each one is getting what's theirs. But if I'm taking all the barley and you're taking all the grain, so what is happening is that I'm not the what's happening is that it's not Huvra Mafreya, it's not that I knew all along that this was mine. Rather, what happened here is that I did business. I'm giving you this produce, and you're giving me that produce. But the halacha is, a chaver is not allowed to sell produce, which may be tani, which may be tamei. That's exactly the subject of that masechta, of the mai. So that's why it can only be done in the fashion that the Mishnah, that we just described, the Mishnah taught us. V'tani Allah, oysa chaver, sorry for salach, anything that he got from his father that got moist, he has to burn. He could use it, explains the Gemara, to use it for fuel, to use it for light, but he can't eat it. Or menech siyavish, anything that never got wet, so can never possibly tamei, he could eat. But what do we see from here? That a kohen that received truma from an amoritz that's not trustworthy can't put it away, because if the question that we began this piece of Gemara with, that you could just put it away and then use it when the season comes, so why don't we just give that piece of advice? Amai, Yanechena, Kasaba, why don't we just put it away for the season? Answers the Gemara, we're talking about the Dovish Ein Loigas. When is there, the Halacha of our Mishnah explains, is only when there's something that has a specific season. So we're learning in our Mishnah in Gemara today that when something has a specific season, that's when you could trust them during the season. But let's say there's something that doesn't have a specific season, it doesn't work. So ask the Gemara, even if it doesn't have a specific season, however, ask the Gemara, Yenechana L'Regel, why don't we put away for Yontif? Because we learned that the Amaratzim are trusted by Yontif. Says the Gemara, that would be a good piece of advice. But we're speaking here about something, B'davish Enim Shtam L'Regel, it won't be able to stay till Yontif. But I saw that the Rishonim ask a question. Obviously, these two brothers are Kahanim. And if they're Kahanim, one brother is a Chavar, and one brother's an Amaretz. And the Mishnah said that if we're dividing all the wheat between ourselves, or we're dividing all the barley, whatever, that is an acceptable way of dividing. But why, asked the Rishonim, is this not a violation of the Isser of Lifnei Iver? Lifnei Iver, by having my brother, who's the Amaretz, eat something that he's not supposed to eat, the halacha is that I'm not allowed to cause him to eat something that he's not allowed to eat. So the answer is that it's not Lifnei Iver, because he maybe could have had other produce. And since he could have had other produce, that's why it's not a concern. Another teretz is that these aren't definitely tamei. When it's definitely tamei, I'm not allowed to have give him something. Here it's not definitely tamei, it's only demai. And therefore, since it's only demai, the Isser of Lifnei Iver doesn't apply. And another teretz that I saw suggested is that the Isser, that the Gemara here is actually not speaking about two brothers or Kahanim. Because two brothers or Kahanim maybe would, indeed, I may not cause that my brother should eat something that he's not allowed to eat. Maybe we're speaking about here about a people who we've spoken about and will continue speaking about who are makbet to eat chulin betahara. And I am, and my brother is not. It's a difficult teretz, because if that's what we're speaking about, so what's the issur in causing my brother to get it? Nobody's obligated to eat chulin b'tahara. So we learned in the Mishnah, v'ma'ma hafrash l'tach revias kodesh, but if he says, I have in this barrel a revias of kodesh, is neman. Very often in Shas, the Gemara speaks about a beis pras. A beis pras is a field that had a kever in it, and it got plowed up. And Chazal said that you may not walk in that field. You may not walk in a circumference of 100 amma around that field, because we were concerned that when the field was plowed, maybe bones were plowed with it. And by walking there, he's going to maybe come in contact with a bone that's the size of a soira, of a barley, which is metamba b'mago masna. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah Masechta Olos, Perek Yudches Mishnah Dal teaches us, Maidin Beisham Beisilu, that both Beisham and Beisilu agree, Shabbat Kim Loisei Pesach, somebody who's going to bring the Karban Pesach, and he has to travel through such a field to be able to bring the Karban Pesach, he could walk through the field and examine what's going on, that he's not coming in contact with a bone. However, Vein Boitkin Lachet, like a truma. Somebody who's traveling to eat truma cannot rely on this type of examination. And the simple pshat, Rashi says, is Pesach has a time when you have to bring the carbon. So since Pesach has a time by when you have to bring the carbon, you don't have the luxury of avoiding this field of waiting. By truma, you have that luxury. Another pshat is that Bedika doesn't help by truma, because by Pesach, if somebody eats, if somebody doesn't bring a Karban Pesach, it's a very serious aveira. It's an aveira that carries with it chiyuv karis. But there is no chiyuv karis for not eating truma. And that's why there's a leniency that the Mishnah teaches us by Pesach that doesn't apply to truma. Ask the Gemara, my Baitkim. So exactly how is this examination conducted? Amar Yudah Mishmul, Menapach Adam Beis Apras, a person could blow on the Baisa Pras as he's walking for Heilich and to see if there's a bone. Rechibar Abim Shmei Deulama, Beis HaBras Shenidosh, if the Beis HaPras was already all plowed up, then it's tar. Because we could be confident that when the plow went back and forth on that field, it must have, if there were any bones there, then it would have completely gotten crushed and it wouldn't have given, and now it doesn't have the right shear to give off tuma. Says the Gemara, Loise Pesach, as we just said, somebody who's going to bring the Karan Pesach, Chazal allowed us to rely on this examination, because lo yamida devarim makom karis. Since not bringing the Karan Pesach involves an issa karis, Chazal were lenient. La'oich le'truma yamida devarim b'makom isa. But the halacha is that if chas v'shalom, somebody eats truma when he's tamei, the Torah says, v'shamru eshmarti v'lo yisol av chet u'meisuba ki chalalua. If somebody eats truma when he's tamei, he's chayv misa b'dei shemayim, and that's why, since he's chayv misa b'dei shemayim, Chazal was stricter in not allowing him to eat, not allowing just to rely on an examination. Ibailu, but now the Gemara asked the following question: Badik lepischa, he did the examination in order to be able to eat the Karan Pesach, which we just learned in the Mishnah, that is completely acceptable. Now that he did that inspection, that examination, and as we're learning, we rely on it in order to be able to eat the Karan Pesach. Can we also rely on it for the Truma? Once you did the examination on behalf of being able to eat the Karan Pesach, you can rely on it to eat Truma as well. Rabbi Ula Mabadag Lepischoi also. You can't rely for truma just because it's reliable for Pesach. Saba. So there was an elderly individual told Rabbi Ba'ula, Le'tufuk alei de'ula, don't disagree with Ula, the Tanakh of a say. There's a Mishnah that backs up his opinion. Because we learned in our Mishnah, Imama Hafrash L'Toycha Revius Kodesh, if the Amoritz comes with this barrel of wine, with this barrel of oil, and he says there's a Revius of Kodesh in it, Neman, even on Truma. Alma, what do we see from our Mishnah, says the Gemara? The Mid Mehemen HaKodesh, Mehemen Nami Truma. Just once the Amoritz has given the Monus, he's given the Monus in areas that he would normally not be given a monus. Similarly here, even though normally we don't rely on the examination of the base of pras in order to be able to eat truma, we can rely on it once we relied it mid mehemen pesach mehemen nami a truma. And therefore, the halacha is that we could trust it. And the way the Tori Evan explains the Gemara, that the consideration here is a consideration of namonus. And once he's trusted, we trust him all the way. There are others that say that people take Pesach more seriously than they take Truma. And therefore, we're concerned that if all he's doing the examination for is Truma, he's not going to do such a great examination. But if the purpose of his examination is in order to eat the Karan Pesach, that's the type of situation that he's more careful about. And since that's the type of situation that he's more careful about, therefore we could trust, so we know he did a good examination. And since he's trusted for the Pesach, we will also trust him for Truma. We learned in the Mishnah, Kadiyayim Kadishemen Hamudumos. And we said we would explain this in the Gemara. The halacha is Namonim Aleyam Bishasa Gitim Vabadim. Tana Ein Namonim Loyal Kakana Veloyal Truma. The Amarats are not trusted, not about the barrels, nor about the Truma. Ask the Gemara, Kakana Demai, what kind of barrels are we speaking about? Ikakanim, the Kodesh, it was speaking here that we're barrels that are full of Kodesh. So ask the Gemara, if we're learning throughout our shiur today that he's trusted for Kodesh, the halacha ought to be, migud mehemen haKodesh, if he's trusted for the Kodesh that's in the barrel, mehemen nami kakanim, he ought to be trusted for the kakanim as well. Says the Gemara, ela b'kakanim the truma, was obviously speaking about the barrels of truma. Ask the Gemara, pshita, hashtat truma l'mehemen, if we're learning throughout our shiur that we don't trust them for the truma, certainly a kakan and mahemen, how could we have a havamina that we should trust them for the barrels? Why would we differentiate between the barrel and the fruit inside? And if the fruit inside is truma and they're not trusted, they can't be trusted in a barrel that's used for truma. Else, as the Gemara is talking about, we call them the kodesh. Barrels that were kodesh, they were had kodesh in them originally, and the kodesh was spilled out. Or b'shaya moisesh kodesh. It's talking about other times of the year. And the question is that he's saying, I'm keeping these barrels in the status of tahara that I should be able to use it. And this and the Bryce is speaking about Malayan Truma, they're full of Truma, or Bashasa Gitas. That even though he's trusted on the Truma, he's not trusted on the Kakanim. And therefore a Kohen who receives Truma from Haaretz has to make sure that it's not transported in his barrel. Because when it comes to Truma, we trusted them. Because as the Rishonim explained, most Truma that was given in Eretz Yisrael were given by farmers who are Amratzim. And therefore, if we're going to start to say that we can't trust them, we'll never have Kohanim being able to receive Truma. But when it comes to the barrel isn't so important that we should trust them. And therefore, that we even when we trust them, we don't trust them on the barrel. Tanan, asked the Gemara, but we learned in the Mishnah, Kadi Yayim Kadi Shemen Hamudumos. And as we keep on waiting to understand, what does the Medamos mean? Ma'alam Medamos Betruma, that they are barrels that have in them Tevel. And what does Tevel mean? That they did not yet separate the Truma. And it says in our Mishnah that when the Amoritz is trusted in the Truma, he's also trusted on the barrels. So we see that the barrels and the food are treated the same way. Not like we just learned that they're treated differently. Answers the Gemara about Amri Debaya, Medamos the Kodesh. We're talking about a case where there was Tevel and Kodesh mixed together. And as we're learning, Amaratzim are trusted about Kodesh. And the Mishnah is teaching us, since they're trusted about the Kodesh, they're also trusted about the barrels. Answers the Gemara, how is their concept of the Mula Kodesh? Tevel, by definition, means that we have Chulin and Truma mixed together. But where is there such a concept of the mua by kodesh? Answers the Gemara. Amri debay rebeloi b'metas tevloi. Somebody makes sure that his tevel remains tar little men in the sochim. He wants to make sure that his oil, his wine, remain tar, that he should ultimately be able to take off from it kodesh. So that's called medamos the kodesh, because there's chulin and kodesh mixed in. And that's where, as halacha, that since we trust Amaratzim for the Kodesh, we also trust them for the barrels. But that doesn't have anything to do with the barrels of Truma. So we learned Kodem Legit Shevin Yom, 70 days before the season, we already trust the Amaratzim. Amar Ba'a Shmamino, Dinahu, the Eluy Aris L'mitrach Aglufei, that the workers have to start preparing the barrels, shivim yomim, 70 days, mikame kaatzarta, before the time, the season, to squeeze the grapes. Just like we learned that they're trusted for 70 days before, because that's when they're ready preparing it. We see from here, that's the halacha by workers, that I could expect my worker to start working for 70 days before. So the Siach Yitzchak says that even though our Gemara is saying that 70 days before they already begin working, says the Siach Yitzchak, it doesn't mean that they're halachically obligated to do so. It doesn't mean that if I have an employee, I could demand that 70 days before, why aren't you preparing the barrels? What the Gemara means to say, says the Siach Yitzchak, it's an Eitz HaToiva. It's good advice that that's the time of the year to start preparing the barrels, so they should all be ready when the season comes.